Well, this morning I'm going to do a well-known reading from Luke. If you're wanting to follow it, it's Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49, and you'll find it on page 1062 of your pew Bibles if you're following it in the Bible. So it's Luke 24, 36 to 49. And it's headed, Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Amen. So, have you ever had one of those days when everything that could happen did happen? The day starts badly, and you sleep in. So breakfast is a bit of a disaster. You can't find what you're looking for, and the children are being a real pain. There is one bright spot. You get some good news in the post, but you really don't have time to take it in. So out you go, and the car won't start, and you haven't even left the drive. And so the day goes on, a mixture of good and bad. You feel as if you've been through an emotional ringer. You can't cope with anything else. You've had it. I'm sure you've all been there at some time or another. Now, at last, you're at home, looking forward to a relaxing evening, a meal, a glass of wine, a chance to wind down in front of the telly. Then the doorbell rings. And before you can do anything about it, one of the family jumps up and answers the door. And there, out of the blue, is an unexpected visitor. It's not that you don't want to see them, but after the day you've had, you could really do without being sociable. So can you imagine, just imagine how you're feeling at the end of that kind of day. And then multiply it many, many more times over. And then perhaps you can get some sort of impression of how the disciples and the other followers of Jesus were feeling that evening in Jerusalem. You know, because from Sunday to Sunday, what we tend to do very often is to split up the gospel readings into nice, neat sections for the purpose of preaching and too for our daily readings, so that sometimes I think we can lose the impact of what is being described. And this is one of these passages, because we are looking at this on the third Sunday after Easter. But if we look at the whole of chapter 24 as a unit, what you'll discover is that we are still in Resurrection Day. And the people who are being described here Jesus' followers have certainly been through an emotional ringer in that day. You know, to put it into context, just think of what has happened in the last few hours since daybreak. First of all, there was the astonishing and unbelievable news from the women that the tomb was empty, that Jesus' body had gone. Then they were told that Jesus had risen from the dead and was alive. So difficult to believe that it was just, so they thought it was just Mary imagining things, but no. Peter and another disciple had seen the same thing. They must have been totally bewildered, suffering not a little fear and excitement, which of course they were desperately trying to control. It couldn't possibly be true. However, just as things were beginning to settle down, in bursts two who had left that morning for Emmaus. And what an astonishing story they had to tell about a stranger they had met on the road who had walked with them and talked with them and explained the scriptures to them. They didn't know who it was, and it was only when he had finally shared a meal with them that they suddenly recognized it was actually Jesus, and they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what they'd experienced. Can you think of a day like that? Ups and downs the whole day, getting more and more and more wound up. The followers would have been thrown back again into a state of tension and excitement and confusion, and any sense of order and calm that they'd managed to put in place would have disappeared completely. So just think about that room and these people sitting there. So there they were, all the followers gathered together, perhaps in the very room where Jesus had shared the last meal with them, emotionally drained, but still going over and over what had happened. They must have wondered what could possibly happen next. They needed time to relax, calm down, try and take things in, perhaps share a quiet meal. Then suddenly, there was an unexpected visitor. Because out of nowhere, Jesus was there in the room with them. The text says they were terrified. I mean, I think that would be an understatement. It must have been completely overwhelming, because they still had not come to the realization that Jesus had risen and was alive. So what was their first reaction? They thought they were seeing a ghost. They must have been totally unable to speak or move. This was the culmination of a series of shocks which had marked their day. I don't know about you, but I'm sure they sat there, unable to move, mouths open, speechless. And you know, as we read, Jesus' first concern, the very first thing he says to them, is to calm their fears. He says, "Peace be with you." It's so typical of Jesus that this first thought would be, "I must reassure people." And it's only after that, when he feels that they're calm enough to listen, that he moves on to try to convince them that he is no ghost, but that he is truly alive. And he does that in a very particular way. Firstly, by showing them the evidence of his crucifixion in his hands and his feet, just to prove to them that this is somebody who had really been crucified and died. Because they know he'd died. They knew they'd seen him lying in the tomb. Even inviting them to touch his hands and his feet, just to make sure that he had returned to them. And then he did something quite extraordinary. He asked them, "Have you anything to eat?" So they gave him a bit of fish, and he ate it. to prove to them that this was no ghost in front of them, but a risen, living person whom they could touch, who could do normal things like eating. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sure the people in the room took an awful lot of convincing after the shocks they had suffered, because they were so fearful and confused. It was really difficult for them to recognize the risen Christ. But at the end, they did. They realized who it was. Now, that reluctance is still with us today, isn't it? The resurrection has been called the greatest stumbling block for many people to turn to Christ and to come to faith. How could such a thing happen? It's very difficult to believe that someone had died and then had risen again. And for us, unlike the disciples, we can't see with our own eyes or touch with our own hands. We have to have faith that this is what has happened. But although we can't see the physical presence of Jesus, he does come to us in his spirit. And he does call out to us, just as he called out to the disciples. He speaks to us in our readings and our prayers. He draws near to us and comforts us in our troubles. And when that happens, we know without any doubt whatsoever that we are in the presence of the risen Lord, especially when we hear him saying, "Peace be with you." And it's an experience I'm sure all of us have had in one way or another. And when this happens to us, what response do we have? We have no other response but to believe and to follow him and become his disciples, just as those disciples all these years ago. Those resurrection appearances changed a group of frightened, demoralized people into confident and courageous evangelists. Just think of what happened after these appearances. Think of how the gospel was spread and how it spread throughout the world and is continuing to be spread as people become aware and recognize who Jesus is. People who were willing to sacrifice their lives to spread the good news. And it should be the same for us. Not that we're asked necessarily to sacrifice our lives, far from it. But you know, so many of us have real fears and anxieties as we face the world. But when we let Jesus into our lives, we find that he does calm these fears and does give us peace. And when we ask for it, we are given courage so that we too can be used in his service to spread the good news in a world that desperately needs it. The good news of the gospel is one that cries out to be heard throughout the world. And we should be like the first disciples and followers of the risen Lord, able to go out, able to speak, able to have courage, and above all, to believe in the risen Lord. Amen.